Here.
No, no, I'm in the hotel room. I'm in the lobby.
Budget workshop. Yeah, the public hearing.
Here.
Is it connected?
The budget. My feeling is no, because.
And there's some static on the system. Is that Director Wilson?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not sure if you can hear us.
I can, but I can't hear you well.
Oh, there you go. Thank you, Director. Welcome, Director. We just called the meeting to order. Took roll. We have a quorum, and I'm going to move on to, let's see, it is a public hearing, so I need to open the public hearing at some point. So I will open it now, and I will go to Mr. Leahy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I'm pleased to be here with you to work with staff to outline our proposed budget. I'm pleased to say it's a balanced budget. I'm pleased to say that it incorporates the additional services that we're operating in the coming year, which have been started up recently and which will soon start up, the Orange Line extension. It includes additional investment in maintenance. We've increased maintenance by a factor of three the past 2 years. We're continuing that trend. We are also asking for additional resource to ensure that we have adequate program and project management for the capital projects, the construction projects that we have at various stages, as well as our very important upcoming purchases of rail cars and buses. I must say that this is Nalini's third budget. She and her team did an outstanding job. They worked very hard to be as frugal and as thrifty as possible while ensuring that we have the ability to deliver the goods for the Board of Directors and for the taxpayers. So I think it's a good budget, and I look forward to the discussion with the public and with the board. And with that, I will conclude.
Thank you, Mr. Leahy. I would like to echo those remarks. The budget, having been through a few agencies' budgets, I think none as large as this agency, the information that Nalini and her staff and colleagues have put together are certainly well readable and understandable, and really it's a tough job, I'm sure, to distill everything that goes on here into a reasonable format. Let's move to item B. I previously opened the public hearing. I'd like to turn to the board secretary for her statements.
Notice of intent to hold the public hearing was published in the Los Angeles Daily News, LA Watts Times, La Opinion, Rafu Shimpo, Tsingtao, and on the internet. Affidavits of publication are filed with the secretary and available in the secretary's office for review.
Thank you. Let's move to staff presentation. Nalini.
Okay, thank you, Director. I'll begin with some budget highlights for 2013. I did cover some of them, but I'll just repeat a few of them. The budget includes an increase of about 0.3% in bus service, mainly due to the Orange Line extension. Rail increases by 16% as we operate the exposition line. We are reducing headways and extending night service on our rail. There is an increased focus on deferred maintenance, specifically for rail. We move forward with the planning and construction of our Measure R highway and transit projects. Next slide is a summary of resources. Just briefly, about half our revenues come from sales tax. Another 10% are system generated, primarily fares. And
Nalini, hang on a second. Is the background?
Mel Wilson is on.
Can he mute it?
Yeah. Hey, Mel, can you put on mute, please?
No, I can't.
Okay. Can we disconnect him?
Okay, so I was just going over the summary of resources. Again, half our revenues come from sales tax, 10% are system generated, mainly fares, and the rest are bond proceeds, federal, state capital grants. Next, we'll go over the expenditure. One third of our budget is to fund operating costs. 46%, that is the majority, is our capital program, and about 22% is spent on subsidies for the region. Again, I'd just like to draw your attention to line 4, and our rail deferred maintenance is increasing by almost 41%. Next slide, we are requesting 212 additional positions, 51 non-contract, 161 contract. These positions are necessary to manage the increase in programs and services that are associated with our expanding transportation network. Finally, the budget is at $4.5 billion. It is balanced. It's an increase of $337 million, or 8.1% from last year. And we are requesting approval of the budget through recommendations A through G listed in the board report. That concludes my presentation.
Okay, thank you. Any comments from directors or questions?
Ira, can you, Director Najarian, can you have the CEO tell us whether we are reducing bus and whether we're reducing rail service this fiscal year coming up, or what the change in service levels will be?
No, actually, no. We're not cutting service. In fact, we're adding service. Nalini.
Yeah, we are adding 17,000 hours for Canoga and another 5, so a total of approximately 20,000 hours for bus, and there is an increase in rail service of 16%. And I can give you the hours for that. 1 minute. The total increase in hours for rail is 131,268. So we are not reducing. Actually, we are adding both in bus and rail.
Thank you.
Questions? Thank you. Do we have any public comment? We're on item 1-3, public comment. John Walsh, followed by Denise Hindman.
I hope that Mr. Bloomkatz, HollywoodHighlands.org, heard what he said. They're adding 20,000 hours for bus and 131,000 hours for rail. Why? Because bus ridership has been flat. No, flat. 1% increase. 1% increase last year in buses is 3 million extra boardings, so now you get 130,000 extra thousand for the percentage-wise. It's an incredible amount. There's no interest in the buses because you are all racists.
Yes, Mr. Leahy.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I would just hazard to say that there's been more focus and attention on improving bus service over the past few years than there has been in a very long time. We see significant improvements in bus service quality, in cleanliness, and in how we just operate the service, both bus and rail. We are making investments. I will also note, this will be an issue, we continue amongst the biggest cities in the U.S. and indeed in the world to have the lowest average loads, the lowest fare, and the lowest average fare, and the lowest fare box return of big cities around the country and the world. People here are getting a very good buy when they ride an MTA bus.
Thank you, Mr. Leahy. Denise Hindman? I'm sorry, Dennis Hindman. Is Dennis Hindman here? I have no other cards for public comment. Is there a motion to close the hearing?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We have a motion and a second to close the hearing. So the public hearing on the budget is closed. We're going to move on into the budget workshop portion of the agenda. The next item is a motion that I would like to present, authored by Directors Du Bois and Kanabe, and of course, our hearts and prayers go out to Director Du Bois, who had an unfortunate loss in her family just recently, and otherwise she would be here in person to present this motion. Does everyone have a copy of this motion? Referenced in agenda item 2?
I'll second it.
Okay. Madam Clerk, this was on the notice in the agenda, right? I don't need to read it in at that point. Is there any public comment on that? Well, I guess it's...
Mr. Chair, just one more comment. I would be remiss if I did not note this is the third year in which we've proposed a budget with no raises for our non-contract employees. We take cognizance of the overall environment, but our employees continue to perform at a very high rate. We continue to deliver. We have had the FDA suggest to us that we slow down. Our performance levels are so high, and the volume is so great. But we are going into the third year without raises, and I just wanted to acknowledge that for my coworkers.
Okay. Thank you. I think what we'll do is incorporate this motion as part of the staff recommendations A through G, if there's no objection to that. Those are the references, the recommendations you referenced just earlier. Are there any public comment cards for any other portion of this? Thank you. John Walsh.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org, 1.25 million successful server requests per year. I want to speak now, and I hope people are listening on their squawk boxes entire, everybody who works for the agency. I think it's reprehensible that you haven't received a raise. All they're doing is hiring consultants and friends of the mayor. You don't have a raise. You have mostly minorities working for you, mostly women. And that for 3 years, and he's proud of it. The white man up here is proud of it, Leahy. He's saying, we don't give raises here. They need cost of living raises. Now I'm telling you, if you have any guts and you work for MTA, send me the documents that'll put these people in prison. HollywoodHighlands.org. Stay away from the LA Times. You give it to Ari Bloomkatz, you will lose your job. He works for them. You will lose your job. The only person you can trust for 25 years is John Walsh. HollywoodHighlands.org for the documents. You all deserve a raise. Cost of living.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. We have before us then recommendations A through G, 2A through G, to which we will attach the Du Bois Kanabe motion, which was already moved and seconded. Is there a motion for A through G? Thank you. Second, Mr. Katz. Any objection? With no objection, that motion is passed unanimously.
Thank you. Thank you, Nalini.
Thank you, Nalini. Very, very good job. At this point, we are going to adjourn the budget workshop and public hearing. And get my other agenda out. And call to order the regularly scheduled meeting of the Finance, Budget, and Audit Committee for May 16th, 2012. Why don't you take roll, Madam Clerk? We'll see if anyone wants to stay. Are you staying with us? Thank you. No, I think we're okay with a quorum. You're free to leave at any time, Director.
Are you still there?
Yes, are you still on the line, Director Wilson?
I am.
Okay. We did not have a microphone for the secretary, but we're noting you as present. Thank you. Let's move to the next item. The first item, which is item 17, report of the Chief Financial Services Officer, Mr. Matsumoto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is our monthly report. Today will be presented by Assistant Treasurer Donna Mills. Assistant Treasurer Mike Smith is away on business.
Good afternoon. Donna Mills, Assistant Treasurer.
Domestic data continues to signal a modest recovery. However, flare-ups from the Eurozone debt crisis and economic slowdowns abroad pose risk for the U.S. economy. Fortunately, the economy appears better positioned to handle shocks than it was a year ago. Economic indicators for the month are essentially unchanged from the previous month. Unemployment is slowly improving, inflation is relatively stable and close to the Fed's target. Consumers are cautiously optimistic about the economy. The data also supports the Federal Reserve's commitment to keep short-term interest rates low through 2014. While intermediate to long-term Treasury rates are currently at low levels, we anticipate modest upward movement when the Fed's Treasury buyback program ends in June. Considering how all of this affects Metro, the timid nature of the recovery reinforces our cautious stance regarding further improvement in sales tax receipts. As a result of continuing low interest rates, we are pursuing a combined $440 million of refundings for Prop A and C bonds that we hope to transact before the end of August. Fare revenue for the month of April was modestly higher than last year and roughly flat on a fiscal year-to-date basis. Looking at boardings, in March, system boardings were slightly higher than prior year, and fiscal year-to-date boardings are roughly 2% higher compared to last year. May Prop A receipts of $54.2 million are $900,000 above prior year, but $11 million higher than the previous month. You have likely heard about the J.P. Morgan trading losses and subsequent downgrade. This slide is a summary of our operating funds exposure to the firm. Our holdings total $16.6 million with maturity dates from October 2012 to July 2016. Despite the downgrade, the positions continued to trade at an unrealized gain through yesterday. Our investment managers consider J.P. Morgan well-capitalized with long-range stability and feel there is still value in holding these securities. On the debt side...
Question. I'm sorry. Did you say our financial advisor, J.P. Morgan?
Or is that a financial advisor? No, I said our portfolio investment managers. Who
are...
PIMCO, Wells Capital, we have LM Capital Management, and RBC Capital. On the debt side, we do not have any business with J.P. Morgan at the moment.
That's why I figured that's where you're going. That's why I didn't hear the comment. It caught me off guard. I was pretty sure you weren't recommending that we do more business.
No.
If you talk to him, though, I'm just curious. Why they didn't stop after the first billion went down the toilet? You know what I mean?
It's a good point. Since our last update, we've initiated a refunding of the Prop C 2009 C bonds. Our $90 million of liquidity facilities will expire in early August for our variable rate bonds and would need to be replaced during July. However, currently low interest rates should facilitate refunding the bonds to a fixed rate, subsequently avoiding the need for future liquidity facilities. During April, the U.S. Department of Transportation staff made the first of two presentations to its credit committee concerning the Crenshaw-Tiffia loan. We are waiting for feedback from the DOT's next meeting with its credit committee, and that meeting is anticipated toward the end of this month. The credit rating agency Moody's Investors Service issued a report in April that was critical of the long-term prospects for the bond insurance industry, in particular, critical of assured guarantee. Such reports are often precursors to downgrade actions within 90 days. We have six defeased leases where assured guarantee provides credit support. During June, we anticipate executing a competitive bond sale to refund the C-2009 bonds. This month, we will hold the initial meeting of the Crenshaw Project Corporation to activate the corporation by adopting the bylaws. At that meeting, the CPC board will consider authorizing execution of the Crenshaw Project TIFIA loan documents. For the West Side Subway Project, we are supporting preparation of the application for a USDOT TIFIA loan similar to the proposed loan for the Crenshaw Project. That concludes my formal presentation.
Thank you. Any questions from the directors? Are there any? Yes, we're not relying on J.P. Morgan for our advice. Are there any cards on item 17? Madam Clerk, thank you. This is a receive and file. Thank you, Mr. Matsumoto. Let's move to item 18.
Item 18 is a request, as just noted, for the board to authorize staff to submit an application for a TIFIA loan for the West Side Subway project. The TIFIA staff requires that we show them evidence that our board has approved such application. The application will be submitted at such time as the final environmental documents are approved and all other funding matters are resolved.
How much are we asking for? Or what's the maximum?
That's part of the reason why I'm being a little bit vague as to when this would be. We're talking to $640 million, but that relates to the first segment of the subway. If we are successful in several endeavors, which the board will be considering in the next month or two, including the extension of Measure R, as Mr. Leahy noted, the expanded TIFIA program, which would be in the reauthorization bill, we might be asking for a lot more.
Okay. I do have a card from Mr. Walsh.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. Over $650 million loan. I'm telling you, where's that money going to come from? Well, out of bus operations. But I'm telling you right now that you're not going to get the money. You have $1.3 billion in delayed maintenance. The only reason that story ever appeared in the Times is my harassment of Hartenstein, this guy's boss. He doesn't do a damn thing unless his boss tells him to do it. Blumkatz, his boss. And we got the story on the front page of the Times. $1.3 billion in deferred maintenance. And I'm telling you, Mr. Antonovich, remember what they did last time to get the proposition passed? They sent out 1 million copies of campaign Prop R paid for by MTA. You remember they did that? Now, I want you to make sure they don't send out a multi-million dollar campaign flyer again for the extension.
Thank you.
Garbage.
Thank you. Mr. Matsumoto, assuming we get a loan for $650 million, how will we repay that? From what source?
That's from the Measure R, which is currently allocated to Measure R under the current version of Measure R, which expires in 2039.
All right, thank you. Are there any comments from directors? Is there a motion?
I'm with the authorization.
Is there a second? Any objections? Okay, no objections. We'll record everyone as an aye vote, and this passes unanimously. Number 19.
Number 19, it's the approval of the MTA board to authorize signing the loan in accordance with the terms that we proposed, that you understood and agreed to in the application. The Crenshaw loan has a further wrinkle of being funded partially. The credit charge is funded by a Tiger grant, and we need to execute that MOU as well. As Ms. Mills earlier alluded to, there will be these parallel actions will also be requested of the CPC board next week.
Move the item.
Second.
Do I have any cards on this item? Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any objections? Thank you. This item is passed unanimously. Item 20.
Item 20 is a policy funding strategy for funding retiree medical benefits, sometimes referred to as OPEB, which stands for Other Post-Employment Benefits. The press has been running rampant on local governments being overwhelmed by this liability. This recommendation in front of you codifies what we have been doing to pay down that liability for the last two budget years, which is to have the proposed budget, which was just approved here at this committee, include the pay-as-you-go amount plus a deficit or a liability reduction amount of 10% of that amount, or $5 million extra dollars, whichever is greater. And again, this is for the actuaries and for their use in calculating our liability.
Any cards on this? I know we have different contracts with different labor groups, but essentially what sort of retiree medical benefits are we extending? Do we offer and extend to the retirees?
Okay. The different unions have different benefits for their retirees. Generally speaking, let's see, the UTU and the TCU and the Teamsters unions offer a benefit through age 65. Retirees through the age of 65. The ATU has what we're loosely known as lifetime medical. Non-contract employees, by and large, the larger portion of them also have their retiree medical benefits expire at age 65, and only a handful have lifetime medical grandfathered benefits.
Okay. And this is a funding mechanism to pay for those costs that we're responsible for as the
agent. Yes.
Any cards from the public on this?
Question.
Mr. Fasana?
Yes, on a pay-as-you-go basis, they're saying what should the amount of the payment be?
Donna, it's what, $25 million this year?
And we were only putting in $5 million, or are we putting in the full 25?
25 plus 5
plus
million.
Plus 5?
Or okay. 10%, whichever is greater.
I'll move approval of the item. Okay.
Is there a second? Director O'Connor, any objections to this? Thank you. This item passes unanimously. Item 21.
Item 21 is a request to authorize a competitive bond refunding sale and or award contracts to replace existing liquidity facilities. As Ms. Mills explained in the update, we have a dual-barreled thing here. We do believe that we will be able to successfully complete this competitive sale by the time that we are required to give notice to the bondholders. However, if for some reason we cannot, there's a backup plan which is outlined in there to extend liquidity facilities under these variable rate bonds for another year.
Can you explain to me the term liquidity facilities?
Letter of credit.
Okay.
We have variable rate bonds out there, and from an investor perspective is, well, what happens if the agency cannot pay off its bonds? And we say, well, we have a letter of credit, and we'll redeem your bonds.
Okay. Very good. And this saves us a significant amount of money.
Yes. We expect that refunding to yield about $7.2 million in present value savings.
Thank you. Any cards on this item? Is there a motion for item 21? Is there a second?
Second.
Any objections? Okay, this item passes.
Thank you, and I'll sit down.
22.
I, th- Thurman Hodges of the real estate section will present.
Honorable Chairman, members of the MTA Board, this is a request to authorize execution of agreements with Caltrans and the City of Burbank for Interstate 5 High Occupancy Vehicle Construction Project. The memorandum of agreement with Caltrans will require LAC MTA to convey easements to Caltrans for construction of high occupancy vehicle lanes on MTA property located adjacent to Interstate 5 between Burbank Boulevard and Buena Vista for fair market value based on appraisal. It'll also amend existing agreements with utility providers who are required to relocate their facilities from the railroad right-of-way to another portion of the railroad right-of-way under threat of the exercise of eminent domain by Caltrans. And it's requested that we assist Caltrans in negotiating such relocations with the utility providers. And finally, LATMTA is to accept from Caltrans $1.4 million to compensate MTA for the estimated cost to relocate in the future all private and public facilities from a portion of Victory Place should MTA use such property for the right-of-way. The cooperative agreement with Burbank will provide for the conditional vacation of a portion of Victory Place and for LAC MTA to reimburse the City of Burbank for the cost to relocate public and private facilities from that portion of Victory Place.
Okay, so they're building HOV lanes from the 134 north to the 118, if I'm, or to the 170.
Yes, yeah. Essentially, we're giving up some of our right-of-way that makes room for the HOVs, so then they're going to reconvey at their expense some back to us so we have a wide enough rail corridor. That will require them to vacate a street. We'll use that if in the future. That also gives us enough right-of-way to do rail should that happen in the future. They're also going to give us $1.4 million now, which is the cost of relocating the utilities at today's price. We'll put that into investment. Should that ever have to be done, we will have the money being built up to move them back. So essentially it's a trade to enable an I-5 HOV lane.
Okay. Thank you. Any cards on this item? Okay, directors, any questions? Director Molina.
It would start again and end on Buena Vista under this proposal.
Is that correct?
Well, this, yes, it would.
Okay, so when you say construct, so they're not building anything, they're just utilizing our right-of-way?
They will build HOV.
I understand, but is it construction, like they're building lanes onto the freeway, or they're utilizing a right-of-way that we have?
Yeah, Doug can help us, I think, here.
Yes, Director Molina, the Caltrans is in the process of letting the contract to construct the rest of the HOV lanes. A piece of it is under construction on the freeway today. This is their last remaining segment between...
That's not what I asked. I don't know anything about
it. Caltrans will be constructing the HOV lane on the freeway. They're using a portion of our right-of-way in order to construct that.
What is our right-of-way?
Our right-of-way is the adjacent rail right-of-way that we've acquired in the past for Metrolink and other uses.
And we don't need it anymore.
We don't need it at this point in time. We think we will need it in the future when Metrolink and other things expand. Caltrans is giving us...
Are we being very short-sighted?
No, Caltrans is giving us the right-of-way necessary for our rail needs in the future. We are getting that from them.
Let me try and clarify.
This just came to me. I don't know. I haven't seen a picture of it. I don't know how it looks. Buena Vista, it ends at where? After the airport?
Yeah, Buena Vista is one of the two or three routes you can use to get into the airport if you're going northbound.
I know. There's Lincoln.
Correct.
There's Hollywood Way. And
correct.
Buena
Vista. So Buena
Vista
is right there in the middle.
So it doesn't go to Hollywood.
Buena Vista gets off. It forms
now,
a little loop
it
and it
that
comes into.
It does not go to the Hollywood Boulevard, or Hollywood Way, whatever it's called.
No, Hollywood Way is further north.
Why not?
Buena Vista doesn't go to Hollywood Way. The project goes past Hollywood Way. The freeway widening will be all the way from 134
past 17. Okay, that's what I want to understand in the context. So how far will the HOV lane go?
The HOV lane will go from the 134 north all the way to the 514 interchange when it's completed.
Thank you. I mean, that makes sense.
Yes, ma'am.
Otherwise, it was just this little piece that's saying, why are you going to put in all this money for this little piece? And you say eventually, if the utilization of right-of-way, we're also building into the fact that when we need it, they're going to give us something.
Yes, ma'am. We've actually got them to, they will provide us the right-of-way we need for the future today as part of that. When that happens in the future, we'll need a little money to move some things around. Rather than waiting and counting on them having money in the future, we're just taking cash today.
Yeah, to clarify, we're giving up 27 feet, but they're giving us 17 feet back in the other side. So we do have sufficient right-of-way today. That 17 feet, however, does have some utilities in it, so if we decide to use it in the future, we will have to move some utilities.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from the directors? No cards. Item 22, is there a motion?
Move it.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you. Any objection? Okay, item 22 is passed unanimously. Thank you. Item, let's see, 23 is withdrawn, if I'm not mistaken. Item 24. Ms. Holden.
Good afternoon. I'm Ruth Holden. I'm the auditor for the MTA. I'm here to present the third quarter report for the Management Audit Services. We completed 15 engagements during this quarter, and we closed out 23 open audit recommendations. I issued one internal audit report having to do, it's a performance audit on the servers that are out at the divisions that maintain and transmit universal fare system data. And what we found is that controls are really effective in ensuring that data is received and transmitted properly, but we found problems in physical access and environmental controls that were inadequate at several of the divisions. We brought these to management's attention during the audit, and they've taken action to resolve all of the issues. That concludes my report.
I have a card from John Walsh.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. I just got a document from that mention. I said somebody just sent me a document on my email. Thank you, upstairs. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Do you realize that the management audit is under the direct investigation of the IG? Of course, we haven't had an IG in 4 years because that scum that calls himself Ari Bloomcats won't do a story about it. But we are an agency for 4 years without an inspector general. And until the time says it, you won't do it. Crooked. Absolutely crooked. There isn't an agency in America that's gone for 4 years, and you sit there with your middle finger up your brown eye.
Now, Mr. Walsh, I thought you were turning over a new leaf with that new haircut, and you went a little too far. Please refrain from those type of comments. Thank you. Thank you. Item 24. Are there any comments from the report? Thank you. This is receive and file. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Holden. Item 25.
Mr. Chair, members, Lorene Kelly is here with us. She's Division 2 Division Manager. She'll be down here for a few months to see how headquarters works and how we get business done down here. We've begun to meet with the COGS on the potential discussion we're going to be having on a Measure R extension. Last week, House and Senate met in conference for the first time regarding the transportation bill. We're pleased to note that Senator Boxer has been named the chair of the conference, a very good sign for California, for LA, and for, of course, America Fast Forward. We are awaiting word from USDOT on several grants that we've been pursuing, so stay tuned for that. With that, I'll conclude my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leahy. I have a request from John Walsh.
I'll pass the report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Next item is item 26, Federal and State Affairs Update.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I've got a number of federal items to touch base on and to expand on what our CEO just shared regarding the House Senate Conference Committee regarding the Surface Transportation Bill. The conferees met for the first time on May 8th. The meeting was largely confined to opening remarks. The chair, as our CEO mentioned, was named, and that's Senator Barbara Boxer, the champion of our America Fast Forward initiative. The vice chair was named, and that's going to be John Mica, the chairman of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. While the comments in the opening conference committee were limited to opening remarks, there was some exchange regarding what the senators believe is the basis for the conference. So this is a small item, but I think it's an important item to share, and that is the following. What is the conferenceable bill? In the Senate, by a margin of 74 to 25, they passed a Senate Bill 1813, MAP 21. In the House, they were unable to pass a bill, and what the House adopted is H.R. 4348, which was a 90-day extension with the inclusion of an approval of the XL Keystone Pipeline. And so many members of the Senate believe that what they're conferencing on is a Senate bill, which is about 1,400 pages, and a House bill, which is about, just a couple of pages. And so there's a pretty fundamental level of disagreement as the conference starts, and the hope that Senator Boxer has and John Mica have, and they're meeting tomorrow to try to settle some of their differences, is what are they conferencing on? So that's number one. Number two is that we're in close contact with the conferees. For the state of California, obviously the chair is Boxer, but we do have another conferee, and that's Congressman Henry Waxman. Mr. Waxman serves as the ranking member of the Energy and Commerce Committee, and so he has jurisdiction over the Keystone Pipeline language, and he'll also be involved, and this is important for this agency, in conference matters related to the Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Program, which is an important program for our agency. The second big issue I'd like to touch on, again, Art touched on it, is the grants. We have three major grants that we submitted for the Tiger grant program. They are the Crenshaw Project, they are the Orange Red Line Pedestrian Connector, and they are the Sepulveda Boulevard Bridge in Manhattan Beach, and we're also supporting per board policy the application of the Foothill Transit Line. And we hope to hear a response from DOT later this month on those applications. And lastly, on May 10th, the Federal Railroad Administration issued promulgated new regulations relative to positive train control. And the skinny on those regulations is that they identified 10,000 miles of track that by 2015 will not be handling passenger railroad traffic and will not be handling rail cars that possess hazardous chemicals. And those rails were deemed not to need positive train control being installed on them. And the DOT, the Office of Management and Budget, believe that that's a savings over the course of the next decade of approximately $750 million in PTC installation costs, and that PTC can then be focused on those lane miles where commuters are most at risk. That concludes my remarks. I'd be happy to answer any questions members of the committee have.
Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Hamparian?
Yeah, I have a question. Can you articulate a little bit more on the status of the House bill? You mentioned that it was volume shorter in number of pages than the Senate bill that was approved a month or so ago.
Happily, thank you, Mr. Chairman. What occurred in the House is the following. The House attempted to adopt a six-year bill that was the blueprint of Chairman Mica. That effort was unsuccessful. Chairman Mica then revamped his bill to exclude transit funding That then met with a mini rebellion from the moderate Republicans in the House, and he was not able to get a majority. And then Speaker Boehner took over the MICA bill and attempted to have it adopted, and he faced his own rebellion from members of the Tea Party and was not able to get a majority. Then at the last iteration, Chairman Wilson, Speaker Boehner threatened his caucus to bring the Boxer bill, S-1813, MAP 21, over to the House, and then he faced a genuine rebellion from the Tea Party folks who said, we are not going to be adopting a bill authored by Senator Boxer in the U.S. House of Representatives. And at that point, Speaker Boehner, despite his efforts in good faith to adopt a bill, said, you know what, we're just going to adopt a bill that extends safety lieu for another 90 days till June 30th of 2012. We're going to add in the Keystone XL pipeline language, and that's where we're going to leave it. So the bottom line, to respond to your question, is the House of Representatives was never able to adopt a reauthorization bill that included their policy outlines. It doesn't exist.
What's your basic opposition to adopting the bill? I mean, the bill was 75% is pretty hard to get, or 74% is pretty hard to get in any House, and that was achieved in the Senate.
I think the fundamental problem that Speaker Boehner and John Manka faced was the dollar amount. To sustain funding included a dollar amount that was unacceptable to many of the individuals who had been elected to the U.S. Congress in November of 2010. And to abide by the funding of the Ryan budget would have meant that highway and transit funding would have been cut by 30%. And Speaker Boehner nor Chairman Micah were willing to bring that bill to the House floor because they didn't view that as palatable for the party.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Amparian. Let's go to the state side.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Today I'd like to provide an update on the status of the state budget, our legislation to create local control of the intercity rail line in our region, AB 1446, and a status of discussions regarding the state's high-speed rail project. On Monday, Governor Brown issued his May revision to the January budget proposal. The budget proposal lays out how the governor intends to address the now $16 billion deficit. The governor proposes to resolve the deficit through a combination of cuts and tax increases, which he is proposing for the November 2012 ballot. With respect to transportation, the May revise is good news, at least for now. The May revise does not propose using transportation funds as a part of the budget solution. There are two areas where this is important for Metro. The first is in the state transit assistance account, which funds our operations and infrastructure bond sales. The STA is funded through the sales tax on diesel fuel and provides, like I mentioned, provides funding for transit operators, not just at this agency, but for municipal operators in our region. So the maintenance of that is encouraging. The May revise also does not propose slowing down infrastructure bond sales. It's important to note, however, that with the recent change in transportation funding over the last few years, transportation bond sales are now funded by motor vehicle weight fees, which used to fund highway maintenance. So we're almost paying ourselves back in the transportation world for bond sales. The legislature will now begin deliberations on the governor's budget proposal. And initial hearings were already conducted in the legislature, those hearings were conducted before the recent news about the expansion of the budget deficit from $9 billion to $16 billion. So we're anticipating that the hearings are going to be a much more challenging enterprise as we move forward. The other issue is that the legislature is now faced with a budget that makes very difficult cuts to significant areas of the budget that many of the members care about, and they're going to be faced with either making those cuts or looking to other fund sources such as transportation to resolve those cuts. So it's quite possible that we could still see impacts of transportation process to transportation funds as this process moves forward. With respect to legislation, we've passed the deadline for bills to move out of the policy committee, and we're now approaching the deadline of May 25th for bills to be passed out of the appropriations committee. We continue to move our sponsored bills forward, and I would like to update you on one of those sponsored measures, as well as AB 1466, which is pending board action this month. Senator Padilla is carrying SB 1225, which is our jointly sponsored bill to provide a local control mechanism for the state intercity rail line. That legislation is passed out of the policy committee and is now pending in the appropriations committee. We're hopeful that the measure will be approved by that committee, but there's obviously some significant challenges that we have to address to get out of the appropriations committee. We'd like to note that there is a parallel effort underway in the San Joaquin Valley to also establish a local control mechanism for the other intercity rail route. We're coordinating with our friends in the San Joaquin Valley and with the Capital Corridor in the Bay Area who have already established their local control mechanism. With respect to AB 1446, this is Assemblymember Fuhrer's measure, which would authorize the board to place an extension of Measure R on a future ballot. That bill is pending consideration by the board for a formal position this month. It was the EMC committee approved a support position last month, but it has yet to be approved by the full board this month. The bill has passed both policy committees, Assembly Local Government and Assembly Transportation Committee, and has also passed the Appropriations Committee. It's now pending a vote of the full assembly, which could happen any time.
Mr. Turner, did you say it has already passed the Appropriations Committee?
Yes, it has.
Thank you.
The last issue I'd like to discuss is the status.
Sure. Of course.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay. Okay, we're switched on. The question I have is there's a lot of inquiries in San Gabriel Valley about what Measure R extension means, and presumably other than more money to Metro to implement projects. I know that projects such as Alameda Corridor East, the Foothill Extension, the East Side Extension, they're all interested in whether there's additional revenue available or whether... Yeah, I've indicated maybe just to accelerate existing projects rather than add new projects, but I would really like to see, and I put in a request for this, to see the Measure R expenditure plan updated to indicate where were we by project when we implemented Measure R, which, you know, the plan was that we adopted. Where are we today based on today's assumptions, and where will we be if Measure R passed with assigned values to all the projects that are included in the expenditure plan? I think we spend a lot of time making policy changes without really seeing the impacts at the major level, but I think it would be a lot easier to get back and answer these questions. And members of the legislature are asking some of the same questions as well, and I really don't have answers for them. So I'd like to see, before we adopt a position, I'd really like to know what the impacts are.
Well, that's a good point. Let me go to, do you have a question directly? Did you understand the thrust of that?
And what I would say is that we have an item on the EMC agenda for tomorrow, which is a review and comment item on a proposed ordinance and expenditure plan that, as I mentioned, is before the board for EMC. My understanding is that the documents have been sent out. It's on the EMC committee for tomorrow.
Copy of it.
Somebody put it up on
the
board.
We'll get one. If you don't have one, we'll get one for you. My understanding is all that was sent out for the board agenda.
Talking about last time we played cat and mouse with this legislation. I'm not going to allow this to happen. I'm going to be very public about it this time. And so, Michael, your reputation as well as the reputation of all the lobbyists is online this time. I mean, last time Michael Fuhrer hid this from us, and we were not supposed to know. Even legislators in the area did not know. If we're going to play that game again, I don't think this is fair. So why is it that you should – do you have a copy of the bill, and do you have a copy – either you're in charge of legislation or you're not.
Yeah, we do have the bill. I can give you a copy of the bill. I'll get you a copy of the bill.
Well, give it to me.
I will.
You didn't come in here with the bill?
No, I can go in the back and print a copy.
Why don't you call your secretary? No, it's not a printed copy. What's going to be before the committee tomorrow?
What's before the committee tomorrow is a draft ordinance and expenditure plan.
I don't think we have the expenditure plan. We have a draft ordinance. I know David is still working on that. Tomorrow is this month, there's no recommendation to the board, and there's no action requested.
All right, excuse me, just a minute. All right, the question I'm asking is about process.
Right.
What was it, not last year, two or three years ago?
4 years.
4 years ago, wow, time passes. It was a cat and mouse game. The assemblyman wouldn't share with his own colleagues on the board because they were told that the MTA didn't want it to be shared with members of the legislature. We were told, don't look at me quizzically.
No, I remember that discussion very well. I'm not quizzical at all.
And then we could not see it because he was told that he did not have permission from his higher-ups, better known as the speaker, to share with us. And then I'd go to the speaker and said, that's not true. I mean, I don't want to play this game again. And I think that we're entitled to know. We want to be supportive of this extension. The reason I couldn't be supportive the last time is because there were a group of people here, and I'm sure they're the same group concocting the list today, that would not share it with some of us because some of us might be concerned about how some of the money is just going into one region versus another and how we're asking taxpayers across the board. And if you look at my district, under the report that was done by our consultant, you know, they get the votes from some of our inner city poor communities that don't benefit at all. And so I just don't want to play this game. And I need some assurances whether you as a legislative team work for a couple of people on this board or all of us.
Well, let me just comment. We're not going to play a cat and mouse game. I wasn't here. No one has it because we don't have it done yet. We met with David Yale this morning. We're working on it.
All right, that's the same cat and mouse game that happened. Presented, and then everybody says that's not the real list, it's going to be amended, which is how it works.
Well, and I hope we don't do that. That's not our plan. No, we won't. I beg your pardon, we will not. We are not asking for an action. There is no recommendation.
Let's put together a bet now that you're not going to do that. All right. So, are you going to let the committee do it?
Let the committee do what?
Keep the list.
No.
Are you going to let the chair keep it to
himself? We're
going to
share everything with everybody.
Before we approve it?
We're going to share everything with everybody before we ask for you to do anything.
Everybody, I'm not saying with John Walsh. I'm just saying with
me. When I say everybody, I'm referring to the board of directors. Everybody gets everything at the same time. Yes, I will bet my job on that.
Okay.
I sure will. You got it.
Will the record reflect a firm handshake between Director Molina
and Director Molina, if I could make...
Sir Leahy.
But I apologize. We played this game the last time, and it's one thing for staff to try and be helpful, but for me to be chasing around legislators back and forth was totally inappropriate.
Well, I don't play that game, and we're not going to play it this time.
I'd like
Director
to follow
Fasana.
You know, the bill that I've seen at this point doesn't change the project. It extends the measure. But what goes to the voters will depend on an expenditure plan out of this agency, presumably, unless something is added to that other bill. The agency is speaking as in advocacy of the extension of the board. I'll back up on that. The board hasn't taken an official position, but I think the staff is putting the information together. As a board member, I want to see the plan. That's what I'm asking for.
Correct.
And I'm just clarifying that none of us have seen that as of yet. So I think when we get the questions about how we feel about the extension of Measure R, we don't know. And I think, I'm glad to hear we're not being asked for a position this month because my view is we don't have the data.
Well, this month we're going to be asked to support, take a position
The legislation enables the discussion, but we're not there is no recommendation as to what the board should do as regards placing the matter on the ballot.
And so it was blanketly approved for what appropriation amount?
I'm sorry, for what was approved? The board hasn't approved. No, the FUHR bill went through the Appropriations Committee. The Appropriations Committee looks at if there's any fiscal impact to the state from the enactment of AB 1446. They determined that there was no financial impact to the state from that.
Pass the first house with an appropriation on it?
No. The bill is a distinction.
Belong to this, is he a senator now?
Assembly member.
Senator now. will not belong to them. It'll belong to us.
Yes, and I think that's one of the key distinctions from the last time this happened, because I know one of the concerns that you had was that the legislation that originally established Measure R, AB 2321, had a list of projects, and I remember very clearly the concerns you had about the timing of that and disclosure of that. This legislation is being structured differently because it does not have any projects. We do not intend for it to have any projects. And